It's 9:28 in Valhalla, and you're listening to Night Call.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. I'm Molly Lambert, and with me in Los Angeles is
Tess Lynch, and over in New York we have
Emily Yoshida. And Tess Lynch just came from New York. Just yesterday, Tess Lynch was in New York. What were you up to?
It's true.
Tess, you rode the plane.
Well, I went to New York. So it's been 2 years since I've been on a plane. And
proud of you.
Thank you. It was 2 years ago. I had a traumatic experience on a plane where my daughter screamed for the 6 hours there and the 6 hours back.
And then you texted me and you said, somebody else's child is screaming on this flight. And I'm so happy.
So happy. I was sitting next to a family with it just seemed like they had just four rows of children who were all roughly the same age. I'm not sure how that worked out. But all of them screamed, and I was loving it. I almost stood up at the end and wanted to be like, your kids did great. They did fantastic.
You know what? Being on a plane is scary. Screaming the whole time is kind of a natural reaction that other people suppress out of...
It is.
I was just talking about this with Blank Check host David Sims and former Night Call guest Richard Lawson this weekend, because they are both nervous flyers. And I am not. And I'm very grateful for it, I guess. But also the entire act of flying is completely abstract to me. So I don't understand.
It's abstract to me, too, because that's one of the things where I'm like, I don't know how a plane works and stays up in the air.
Yeah.
Really?
Wait, did you miss ninth grade science?
I know what supposed like a jet stream and, you know, the air currents are keeping it up. But like the fact that it stays up is crazy.
My issue with flying beyond having children is that the physical changes that happen when you're in an airplane, like I'm very sensitive in general, I guess, to sort of like the elements. Well, yeah, but also like the way that you get dried out and like my earlobes started like throbbing.
No, it's a weird thing because it's like a bus in the sky.
A sky bus. But it almost feels like being in the microwave for 6 hours at 10% power. It's not like you're not being like totally cooked, but like a little bit cooked.
My mom, who is a nervous flyer, likes to pretend she's on a train because that makes her feel calmer.
But it's really hard to pretend you're on a train if you
but
look out the window and you're
so
in there.
Being on a train is so calming.
Yeah, I like trains.
Trains are great. And being on a plane is like inherently kind of uncomfortable.
Fucked up.
I think the thing that would make me nervous if I really started to dial in and think about it was another thing we were talking about, which is just like all the things that like one little thing can go wrong as far as like the checklist before a flight happens. Mm-hmm. and everybody's toast. And they were telling me about some case recently of some kind of budget airline. I want to say it was an Indian airline, and they just forgot to pressurize the cabin before the flight went up, and everybody just started bleeding out of their eardrums.
Oh my God.
Which is just like my night. And then suddenly, you know, of course, then I'm like, oh God, that's horrible. Like flying is a nightmare. But like, you know,
it's just this one little thing.
This is like why when people are cavalier about space travel, when, you know, billionaires that are sending people to space, they're like, we'll all just be going to space. And then we talk about space madness, where it's like, no, your brain can't handle a long journey through the cosmos.
Also, there was just something recently about the radiation levels on Mars. And if you went to Mars, you would just be like completely irradiated.
Also, like I was thinking about this the other day because I was looking at Mars because I love Mars. Mm-hmm. And it's been out a lot. And I was just like, who looks at that and is like, we should go put like fucking hotels on it?
No, I know.
You know?
Doesn't need to be gentrified.
Like, exactly. Do not gentrify Mars.
Yeah, leave the Martians alone.
I was going to say, Emily, that was Stanley Kubrick's reason for not flying.
The pressurized?
No, the idea that like one little thing could go wrong. He was like too obsessive and just was like,
he didn't trust anybody else to be as obsessive.
That's
as he
right.
Was.
Exactly.
Yeah. that's fair.
And that's why he shot like Eyes Wide Shut in England and all that stuff, because he wouldn't leave.
Yeah. I'm of his camp. Although I have to say it was really nice to go back to New York. I hadn't been back in a while. And I went for the Tribeca TV Festival because my husband was in an indie pilot that was written and directed by my friend Bridget, who also is Molly's friend. She went to high school with us. It's called I Was a Teenage Pillow Queen. I'm plugging it right now. But we also saw four other pilots that were – it was just fun. Like, it was nice to, like, have a semi-professional reason to go – like do something like that.
Tess was really excited because she met Lynn Shelton, who we're all
I was really
big
excited
fans
to meet
of.
Lynn Shelton. Oh, yeah. Told her about the podcast. Hi, Lynn. I know you're listening right now.
Did she have a pilot there?
No, she was a guest.
She was the
she was a plus.
I
we
make
were
things.
Fellow plus ones. But yeah, I met like a lot of really cool, interesting people.
And Tess, you're not a big New York person in general, even though you are from there.
I'm from there. The tricky thing for me about New York is that it would be like, I mean, it's everybody has that thing of like, you know, it just makes you feel old when you go back to where you're from and it looks totally different and everything is closed. But New York used to be so gross and I loved that about it. And I was at Washington Square Park and it was so like fancy. I mean,
oh,
it was ridiculously
yeah.
fancy. And then I had to take my toddler to the bathroom and we went in and there were like marble counters. I was just like, this looks like the W, but it's like a public bathroom. Yeah. And then I just kept
everywhere
talking about it.
Looks like
it
that,
does.
Was
yeah.
that Needle Park? What was Needle Park?
I think Needle Park may have been Washington Square Park.
I thought that was Tompkins Square.
Oh, that would make more sense.
But maybe I'm wrong.
When I was a kid, Washington Square was the park that I went to. And now Union Square Park is like the where you take your kids. My son made a
so
lot of friends.
You can dance to the Hare Krishna.
Yes, yeah. It was interesting, too, to see the different
Something's
religious groups that were, like, campaigning at these parks. I was like, no Scientologists. Yeah. Those are at Echo Park. Like, there are no – I didn't see
Oh, they just have, like, a different – it's, like, it's coastal affiliations.
Uh-huh. A lot of Jews for Jesus at Washington Square Park that day.
So sieht es auch der Sozialverband.
This week's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Wander Beauty. Wander Beauty is a new line of easy-to-use multitasking beauty products that help you make the most of your beauty routine, no matter how little time you have. They're easy to use and travel-friendly for foolproof beauty whenever, wherever. I'm sure we've all seen these amazing makeover shows or heard people talking about their skincare regimen, you know, 9-step, 10-step skincare regimens, which is very fun. And it's nice if you have time, you know, hashtag self-care. But honestly, most of us don't have time to do that every single day. And your beauty routine should be easy to use and made for your real life. And Wander Beauty is a brand that really gets that. With Wander Beauty, you can get ready in 5 minutes and stay gorgeous on the go. They recently won an Allure Best of Beauty Award for their Unlashed Volume and Curl Mascara, which lengthens and curls but never clumps. And best of all, Wander Beauty is clean, cruelty-free, and made with ingredients your skin will love. So it's time to make over your morning with Wander Beauty. Get 20% off your first purchase at wanderbeauty.com/call. That's wanderbeauty.com/call, C-A-L-L, for 20% off. Again, that's wanderbeauty.com/call. What was your biggest takeaway from New York then? Maybe aside from
the cleanliness?
The TV fest.
I mean,
the cleanliness,
well,
really?
Not exactly, because yeah, you sent me some pictures of like.
Well, that's the thing is, I sent Molly a bunch of pictures of trash.
I love the trash.
And pigeon poo. Well, because I was like, I don't see how hard. The inner workings of how New York operates right now are just so mystifying to me. Because when I was growing up, it was like, you know, the trash. The dirt, like, it was all kind of elemental to the city because
right,
it was
it's
like
a city.
Yeah, and it was kind of an acknowledgement of like it would take way too much work to tackle this, guys. Like, way too much money, way too much work. It's just not going to happen. And now there's this like mysterious thing of like, you know, I mean, obviously there are answers to these questions, but the fact that homeless people have been basically like eliminated from the streets is very disturbing to me because in LA, obviously that's something where I'm like privy to a lot of that dialogue and I don't really know where they all went.
Well, there was a lot of homelessness in New York the last time I went.
Yeah, there's a lot of homelessness.
And what I learned is
that the trains too.
They corral them into subway stations.
Okay. That was the thing of like, when I was growing up, it was just basically like, you know, it looked a lot more like L.A.
Like
does
a place,
now.
Yeah.
Also just going, I went to Stuytown and they have like movie nights and an ice skating rink apparently in the winter. And it's all of these pristine playgrounds. And I was just like, this is very nice. Like it doesn't seem like New York. Oh, that's why I resent New York, because I'm an old New Yorker now.
No, but then you make, like, the Stanley Kubrick Eyes Wide Shut, like, the version from your memories.
Yes, yeah.
You build it on a set.
It was really great. I got to see my friend Rachel, who I hadn't seen in a long time, and we went to a restaurant we were trying to find a place to eat, and it was obviously, like, a weekend night, so impossible. We didn't have reservations anywhere. And we wandered into this restaurant where we could sit at the bar or lounge, and we went to the bar, and it was pretty full, but there was a woman sitting with two seats on either side of her, and she was alone, and she had bags on the seats next to her. And we were like, hey, do you mind just scooching over one seat or, like, moving your bag so that we can sit? And she was like, sweethearts, I can't. And we were like, why? And she was like, you have to understand, I'm meeting a man here. I haven't seen him in 30 years. And we were like, but he's not going to take all these seats. Like, what do you need them for? And she was like, look at the lights. And she was like under a little light that was like slightly more amber than the other lights. But they were like identical recess lights, other than that it was like a little warmer. And she was like, I got here at 5 and it was like 7:30. She's like, I got here at 5. And I'm just waiting for him, and, like, I have to be sitting in this seat. And we were like, fuck, fine. She was like, I'm not crazy. And we were like, you are crazy.
Was it Countess Luann?
Is she a
maybe
ghost?
I don't know. So then we walk around to, like, go somewhere else, and a couple pulls us over, and they're like, oh, we've been here for an hour. She did that to us. She did that to them. Like, pointing just, like, she had iced out everybody who had tried to sit at the bar. And they were like, I don't think this guy's going to show up. Like, how, you know, obviously.
And then there's going to be a meltdown, like, 9 p.m.
but
or something.
Listeners, he did show up because
what?
We were eating at the lounge and we were like waiting to see. And she was like in her maybe late 50s. And then this guy comes in and he's like her age and he sits down. And when we left, they were making out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's a true
only
New York
in New York.
Start.
Am I right?
Beautiful.
And I was like, I'm going to be reading Modern Love for like the rest of my life just to try and find that,
that
story.
Genuinely a beautiful and romantic and wonderful story.
It was, but I was still kind of pissed because I was like, I don't know. I mean, like, I really would have preferred to sit at the bar.
One of the things that I had suggested talking about UFO religions, I've been just really into UFO religions.
Well, when Molly proposed this, I was like, what do you mean? She was like, Scientology. I was like, oh,
well,
right,
I was like, there's a
one.
Bunch Wait. Of them.
Wait, what do you mean by UFO religions?
There are,
though?
like a bunch
this?
Of... Okay, so there's, like...
religions
New
with
age
aliens.
Religions. Religions that are based around either, like...
Like, post-atomic age religions,
post-atomic age,
basically.
like 60s and 70s. Like, we're trying some stuff out, and here's what it is. Scientology is one of them, but there's also the Raelians.
Oh, yes.
What's that?
It's people who believe that the UFOs coming is the rapture, basically.
Okay, like the people in Independence Day.
No, exactly. And Unarius. Have you guys ever seen V, the 80s TV miniseries?
Yeah, the lizard people.
The lizard people one that's super scary, where it's the V as the visitors, and it's like all these spaceships just arrive and like stand over all the big cities like an Independence Day. Mm-hmm. And then the visitors come out and they're like, we're good, like, trust us. And then they turn out to be lizard people. But it's all about the people being like, should we trust the visitors? Like, they say they're good and they want to help us. And then I just learned that it was actually just an adaptation of Upton Sinclair's It Can't Happen Here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was pitched originally as a story about like Nazis in America. And they were like, that's too intense.
Too hot.
So they changed it to aliens.
What?
But there's all this stuff in it about like the visitors. What they do is they suppress science so that nobody will like do the science that will like find out they're lizard people.
How do they suppress the science?
They like start killing scientists.
Okay, that's one way to do it.
Okay, let's Let's save this for a later episode because it feels like there's a lot
there's
to get
a lot.
Into here.
I just wanted to bring it into the night call sphere because it's something I think we will revisit.
Let's take a night call. I think we have one about cheese.
We do. This email comes from Lena, and she writes from Leicester, England. In part, I am not reading the whole email, but I'm going to cut right to the chase. Every time I've told someone I don't like cheese, people react as if I just viciously insulted their infant child. My father and friends have on many occasions tried to trick me into eating concealed cheese to prove that this has all been a lifelong ruse on my part. Since birth, I'm 25 years old. That is a long time to keep up a weird and very specific food-based prank. Finally, I found this study where these scientists scanned the brains of like 300 people who all don't like cheese and found that they have the same abnormality in their brain with a link to that we will put in an addendum to this episode. My dream is to save up enough money to get my brain scanned and then have the result printed out on tasteful business cards to hand out to people, LOL. Thank you, Lena. So this is a scientific, it's like the people who think cilantro tastes like soap or Brussels, or the like bitterness thing.
A brain abnormality.
So I should clarify because she was, she was responding to me talking about the fact that I don't eat cheese. And I wouldn't say that I have a natural aversion to cheese. I used to eat a lot of cheese. I lived in the Midwest. I lived in Dairy Country,
Curd County.
I went to Dairy Queen like every chance I got.
Yeah.
I stopped drinking milk. I think I want to say in my sophomore year because I saw we had to watch a video about how milk is made in industrialized society, and it was so horrifying that I would still drink dairy product, like have dairy products, but I wouldn't drink just plain milk because it was too reminiscent of all these cows being pushed into these metal milking devices and stuff.
Yes.
It was just really unpleasant.
Emily, but you eat meat, right?
I do eat meat. Yeah.
So how?
I'm not saying it makes any sense. I don't.
No,
I want to say that my dietary practices are part of some larger philosophy.
I got into it.
They are
it.
Very selective and silly.
No, yeah. I appreciate that because I think it is sort of like, well, it's also like if anybody had to look at like how things are made, we'd all be vegans, just like Paul McCartney said.
I was vegan. So the real thing is that I was vegan then for about 3 years. And when I wanted to stop being vegan because I was tired and run down all the time, and I wondered if I just like wasn't eating properly or needed a more, I don't know, I was just trying everything at that point. So I tried to stop being vegan. So I started eating meat again, but I could not eat cheese. It made me barf. So I kind of feel like maybe that's a more bizarre thing for people to eat.
I don't know. Lactose intolerance is real.
Yeah, of course it is. And I probably am
lactose
intolerant.
You probably are lactose intolerant.
I don't know.
And there are some like groups that are predisposed to lactose intolerance.
But there are people who are lactose intolerant and still love cheese
it's
and dairy
true,
products.
But I am one of those people for sure. But I don't love all cheese. Like, I'm not one of those people. I personally find.
Well, she's from England. Our
right,
emailer
yeah.
is from England. And that's like another serious cheese.
I know.
Culture.
I was going to say that's probably so much more intense there to be to reject cheese. Also, shout out to Night Call England.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Cross the pond.
International Night Call. If you're listening to Night Call, you probably love true crime podcasts just like me. Let me tell you about a new podcast I love called Dead Man Talking. Created with Audioboom, Dead Man Talking is about the death row confessions of the railroad killer, Angel Resendez, who crisscrossed the U.S. by freight train in the 80s and 90s, choosing his victims at random before he was executed by the state of Texas in 2006. Before his death, Resendez spoke to journalist and host Alex Hannaford and claimed on tape to have killed as many as 40 people. Each episode takes a confession by Resendez and leads Alex on an investigation to find out the truth. Was the railroad killer lying in order to slow down his journey to the execution chamber, or was he even more sinister than anyone could have imagined? Dead Man Talking features interviews with the railroad killer's only surviving victim, the psychiatrist who knew him best, attorneys who worked on the case, and two inmates currently serving life sentences for crimes Resendez claims he committed. Visit Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory and search for Dead Man Talking.
Speaking of eating, like, you know, being kind of a hypocrite about eating habits, I don't eat octopus, as we've talked about before. But I just really quickly, because Molly sent us a very interesting article from the New York Times that was, I think, 3 days ago, so a week old at this point.
Sometimes I just text you guys ideas for the podcast, and they're just like, octopus on ecstasy.
Well, we have to just address the fact that a bunch of scientists gave some octopi some ecstasy, and they had...
What music did they play?
They had a... they put the octopus in a tank with another octopus, that was hiding under an upturned pot in case the octopus on drugs got aggressive and wanted to beat up the octopus. The other octopus had a place to hide. And then they had a toy. And when they gave the octopus ecstasy, it became like hyper social and wanted to like give hugs. You know,
like a raver.
It's like, it wanted to call its family and just say, like, I just want to let you guys know I love you so much.
That's what it said. It was like they're normally solitary, but when they gave them ecstasy. They like wanted to cuddle, an octopus cuddle.
And so that just like further solidifies my stance that you can't eat octopi
because they're too smart.
They're too cute and smart.
Yeah.
And whimsical.
Well, pigs are too.
Yeah.
So everybody's a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Who's not a vegan?
Even vegans are hypocrites.
Pigs are smarter than dogs.
I got mad at my friend Paul, who's a vegan, because he was like excitedly talking about killing mosquitoes. And I was like, aren't you a vegan? And he was like, mosquitoes don't deserve to live.
They're the deadliest animal. He's 100% right.
I know, but he was also like, I'm not a vegan because I like care about animals. I'm a vegan because like I don't like any food.
Wait, really? He's not an ethical vegan? He's just like
picky person.
I was not an ethical vegan. I was a vegan because it was cheap, and I went through what's the thing that like people always associate with Gwyneth Paltrow, where you just like selectively stop eating different things?
Is that orthorexia? Like
fasting?
Orthorexia. Yeah, I was like mildly orthorexic for like most of my life. So I just decided like I'd, you know, narrowed down most
things. Right. I knew some people who liked it because it's like it's just so limiting, and that can be
makes
kind
you feel
of
in
fun.
Control.
Oh yeah,
it gives you control. So much. Yeah, and when you're poor, also it's like, well, there were only a few things that I can afford, and now I know exactly what I have to buy because it's the only thing I can eat.
It doesn't lead to eating well necessarily. I feel like a lot of the
I know so many unhealthy vegans,
right?
Who just eat like NIF and like rice and beans.
What is NIF?
Nutritional yeast flakes.
I do not like those. I find those disgusting. They're like a substitute for cheese, but
I love them.
Oh, they're gross. This brings me to my next cheese question. Also in the email, there's in a different part of it, she talks about that part of what she finds off-putting about cheese is that it's just hard milk.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's very evocative.
It's
and
very evocative.
It's a secretion. It's a hardened secretion.
I have like, if something is like smells gross to me, like I don't want to eat it.
Yeah. I think that's universal sentiment.
It's not, because some people like cheese that I find disgusting. And I
used to love a stinky cheese.
I do not. I cannot fuck with it at all.
I don't do stink. I mean, I'm not huge into cheese, as I've said. I'm not like, you know, take a hard line
like,
on
within
the cheese.
I'm incredibly picky about what kind of cheese I like.
I like the soft, mild cheese. But you know what I don't like is there was this thing going around online recently that was like, it was like a puff pastry. It was huge, like a cauldron. And it was just filled with melted cheese as like an edible entire fondue pot.
Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, why is that appealing?
It's too much.
It's just too much.
I'm also, this is not going to be a popular opinion, and I'm excited for fighting about it, but I do not like queso.
That you're wrong.
Well, I've never had queso.
Queso's fantastic.
Oh, I do not care for it. Really? Emily, you've never had it?
I love queso.
No, it's a Texas thing.
I know, like, but you never.
I mean, I had cheese curds. Like, they don't have. We could talk about cheese
curds.
There's
been like a real Tex-Mex like boom in Los Angeles
because of home state. Which
I'm
is,
not.
You
I mean,
know,
I'm not crazy
awesome.
About the Tex-Mex boom because I'm like we have like Mex-Mex. I'm like California Mex. We don't need fucking queso.
I love queso.
But people love queso. I don't get it at all. It's like gross nacho cheese, basically.
My mom used to make queso when I was growing up, and it was just Velveeta cheese and Rotel tomatoes.
Oh, okay. That's the classic.
Oh, yeah. That's the classic.
So, I've had that. Okay, so I never really got into that. It was also so foreign to me. It was like, I don't know. It felt so decadent. I couldn't
It's super decadent. It's hard because it's like you don't care what you're dunking in it.
What about?
You could dunk anything in it.
Where do you guys fall on fondue?
I like fondue. I miss fondue, honestly, because I like Swiss cheese a lot when I eat
Swiss cheese.
I really like
you
Swiss
do?
Cheese,
wait, so. What? You just... my mind just exploded. You like Swiss cheese?
I get Emily's cheese preference. I get it. I'm a Swiss cheese person,
too. No, I'm talking about when I ate cheese. Swiss cheese was good. I liked all the Swiss cheese.
I'm not a huge fan of fondue. I'll go for it, maybe. I think I went to fondue with you, Molly, at a place in the Valley, maybe La Fondue or something at one point.
Did we go to La Fondue? So. There's like this one weird 70s fondue place in the Valley. I don't know if it's still open. I loved that it still existed. It's very similar to like the weird French restaurant that's in Punch Drunk Love.
Yes.
Where he beats up the bathroom that's also there.
Oh, yeah. Or like Tay.
Yeah. Tay is like legitimately old. This is like a 70s attempt at like recreating the old world.
A country kitchen.
Fondue is just so greasy. When you melt cheese, that's the issue with melting cheese because I make this thing that is colloquially known as funeral potatoes because when someone dies, you bring them a
Oh,
bit,
I know what you're
there.
Talking about.
It's an Irish thing, perchance?
It's a Midwestern thing. And it's like potatoes au gratin, but it's like, exactly.
You bring them to a funeral?
Yeah, because when someone dies, you're supposed to
it's
give
like
the
wake
family.
Food.
It's wake food, exactly.
It's calorie rich. So if you have no appetite because of grief, you can eat a little bit of
because it has seasoning except salt and nutmeg.
Yeah,
but the problem with
nutmeg,
nutmeg because nutmeg.
Oh, nutmeg makes nutritional yeast flakes taste like more like cheese.
Nutmeg's one of the best spices. Nutmeg is often in fondue, I believe.
Well, y'all, it's pumpkin spice season.
I'm souring on the
which also
spice.
Means it's ghost season.
That's what I was gonna say.
What goes with pumpkin spice lattes better than a good ghost
That's
time?
That's right. It was the first day of fall, like 2 days ago. I was so happy. I'm such a basic bee. I fucking love it. I was just so excited. I'm like the person that's excited about the idea of the nights becoming longer and the days becoming shorter, which I know nobody else is, but...
I feel that.
You know, it's just less time I have to wear sunscreen, and that to me is like very valuable.
No, it sucks. You guys are both wrong.
And I just don't like the heat. Like, it gets cool at night.
It could be cool, and it doesn't have to mean that night lasts like for 15 hours. I don't like it.
Also, it doesn't matter in Los Angeles. Like, here it's really like, okay, well, I'm ready to go die for 5
hours.
No, that's
like,
true.
It's true.
That's literally why I live here, is just to not
I didn't know
get
that
depressed.
About fall until I experienced real New England fall. It's definitely a different thing, and you understand.
I used to like everything, fall and winter, much more when I didn't live in New York City, but still lived in that climate, because you got all the beauty of it without all the like scuzziness,
the bullshit,
and
without the feeling
and...
of like the walls are about to close in and there's nothing you can do.
But wait, Molly, what's special about fall?
Well, aside from the delightful nutmeg flavored beverages, the autumn equinox was a couple days ago, which is the day when the veils between the spirit worlds are easiest to penetrate.
Finally.
And so my friend Emma Cunningham, who is like fifth Beatle status in Night Call. She's out of the PA at the Night Call live show, like, and did...
she did magic
did strolling
tricks
magic.
For those of you who are there.
She did close-up card magic. And she's just an all-around great, cool person. So she rented a ghost-ometer, a ghost-hunting thing.
What did it look like?
It looked
paint
like,
the picture.
It looked like exactly what you would think.
Like
it
a
looks
divining
like
rod
from Ghostbusters.
Okay.
It was like a little. It kind of looked like a amp pedal or something. It's just like a little electronic. Or it looked like the thing that you hold on the wall to find nails.
Okay, yeah. A stud gun.
A
stud spotter.
A stud finder.
Yeah, stud finder.
Oh, yeah.
But it has
a, did it have a laser?
No. Yeah, it also had a laser. It was like a two-part thing. It came with a laser, so you had to like point the laser and then hold the ometer.
How else are you going to penetrate that veil?
The ghostometer. Yeah. And the ghostometer has like a little different sectors of like, it's got like a little ometer and it's like green, yellow, red, orange of like how much ghostiness.
How ghosts. How much ghosts.
How much ghosts. So I met up with her on the Equinox in Koreatown, and I was also like, what a great place to look for haunted things. There's so many old, creepy things
old buildings.
In
yeah.
Koreatown. So
you
we
could
went.
Go to the place where the Ambassador
we
Hotel
did.
Used to be.
We went.
Yes, the school.
She was like, where do you want to go? And I was like, I have a very specific, like, let's go to the old Bullocks.
Let's go find RFK.
I saw you were at Cassell's looking for ghosts in the pies.
Yeah.
You can find ghosts in those
That's
pies.
That's an old building. We went in there first. We went in the hotel that.
Hotel Normandy, right?
Hotel Normandy.
Oh, which my is, God. Hotel Normandy.
Yeah. And we went in like the weird lobby there that has like, it's very like shining-y in there. You know, there's just.
Did they rehab it? Because it shows up sometimes when I'm looking for a place
yes,
to stay
they
in
turned
Los Angeles.
It,
and I'm like, this place used to be so, so creepy.
Yeah, they turned it into a boutique hotel, but it's still
okay.
totally creepy.
It's
because
like
it
the Cecil
still
or something.
Looks like the Overlook yeah. when you go inside, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, there's like the good restaurant Cassell's, which is really good and has really good pies. And then there's like the big lobby that they were letting people wait for tables in. But it's like, it's exactly like... It's just very creepy and art deco. And
the other place
dim.
That I feel like is really haunted around there that I've read about, I feel like, is the Gaylord.
Yeah. Oh, we went to the Gaylord. We went to
did you find Where did you find the ghosts?
Well.
Okay. Don't disappoint us.
I will disappoint you. Oh. Disappointingly, none of the places we went to that were reputedly super haunted revealed any ghosts whatsoever. And then some random places... would like set the meter off very
much.
Where? The one place we got a really high reading outside was in front of the church that's now, I think, a mosaic church.
Oh, yeah.
But
across
like
from
across
the
from
line.
The line, but where there's like the Walk of Fame star for Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
We got a ghost reading and I was like, well, that makes sense because he's the Holy Ghost, right? Like Jesus is technically a ghost.
No, but that's okay.
People might argue.
We'll talk about this
about
more.
That.
I just learned about the Holy Ghost, so I have.
Wait a second.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. It's separate from.
Yeah,
no, I know, but I have a
three.
Lot of questions okay. about like what it's like. The breath of Jesus was one thing I read. Theologians of theologians.
Theologians.
Theologians of Night Call. Let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know if you think Jesus is a ghost, as Molly
Give us your
incorrectly
thoughts, your hottest take on the Trinity, please.
And then just in a couple of other random places, such as like a barber shop, I think, we just were outside. And
do you think that was like the ghost of hair?
Hair ghost. So we did like a, we walked around, we went to a lot of different sort of every old building I could think of, yeah, and like kind of over by where the Ambassador Hotel is where RFK got assassinated. But, you know, my friend Emma was being sort of more of the Mulder. She was like, I'm going to say, like, the ghosts are real and we're finding them.
Yeah.
And we were also like, maybe they don't come out during the daytime as much. Who knows?
How do those ghost
You were there in the
work?
Day?
Oh, yeah, daytime.
It was daytime ghost hunting.
Okay.
How do these things work? They measure frequencies? They measure temperature? Do you know?
She was having a nighttime ghost hunting party and slumber party, but I couldn't go because I was going to Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh, poor you.
I was like, can we do some daytime ghost hunting?
But wait a second. How does the... You're avoiding answering this because maybe you don't know. How does the ghostometer work? What is it measuring?
Guess what? I do know.
Oh, okay.
Because I called asked.
My bluff. Go
no,
ahead.
Because I was the Scully. I was like, I want to know, like... debunk this for me. What is this measuring? Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, it's measuring electromagnetic fields.
Okay.
So one of the other places we got a very high ghost reading was a school. That was probably the most ghosty that we got of
That's
anything.
That's because ghosts love because children, like we've talked about on the podcast, is that children can see ghosts and babies can
well,
see ghosts.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that grown-ups can't.
But wouldn't, like, computers...
well, that would be your boring.
Damn it, Emily.
Your boring.
You poked a hole.
Correct, maybe, answer about what was actually happening. But it was still really fun to do.
Can you tape this next time?
Yeah.
Yeah, for
Can
sure.
Can I just follow
Please.
You around with a
yeah.
phone?
Yeah, I also brought a book with me today because I was very excited about this. It's The Ghost Hunter's Guide to Los Angeles.
It looks like an old book.
And when I went to the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert, it was at the Rose Bowl, which is in Pasadena along the Arroyo Seco, like very close to Devil's Gate, actually. And it was just like a very, you know, like a fun communal witchy event to be at. A lot of moon harvest.
How witchy can it be there if Jay-Z's there?
You know,
honestly.
It's true. No, but I was kind of like, he has to stand there while she like tells us all like what he's done wrong, and he has to take it.
It's
and there's
so
something kind of satisfying about
yeah.
that. You know, like they would like, you know, do Big Pimpin' and then follow it with like a Beyonce song about like, no, 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 fuck you.
Yeah. Supposed to put that pimping away.
So we have another night call this week about some creatures.
Hi, I'm very behind and I'm just now listening to you guys talk about whales and how whales came from the land, which is creepy. But then you talked about hippos and I had to call in because I'm obsessed with the story of hippos moving to Colombia. So you should definitely look it up. But Pablo Escobar had a weird zoo on his property and he had all these hippos brought from Africa. And when he was arrested, they started escaping. And now Colombia has all of these hippos and it's like exactly the same climate as Africa, but without the drought. So they're becoming the dominant predator and everyone thinks hippos are cute and cuddly, just like Carvel did, but actually they are dangerous and terrifying. And I think like the second or third most like deadly predator. So it's a huge problem. And Colombia doesn't want to kill them because Colombia has reputation problems. And so it's just becoming this like epic problem and they're just everywhere. And it's an amazing story. And I just thought you guys should know. So happy night call.
I like happy night call as like a, as like a greeting or a
happy
or
night call
and a happy a night call to
salutation.
You.
Can I just say that?
Good night, call to you.
I loved this call so much.
Yes.
I had never heard about this. Had you guys?
No, I'd never heard about
either,
it.
But it's fairly well documented because as soon as you start typing in Pablo Escobar hippos,
you get
there
a
are
lot.
Many suggestions.
Yep.
Tess, you were once obsessed with the Fidel Castro's tiny cows, right?
Yeah, I was. I mean, just the idea of tiny animals is very intriguing to me, but unfortunately, they're not really real.
Right.
Yeah. Can't really do
so
it.
So I think this is like a big problem. I mean, even, you know, I think throughout history, but like I guess a lot during the Victorian times when people would like the exotic pets thing was a big craze. And I saw this like very, very funny short film for a film festival I was juring once that was about a panther that was loose in the Italian countryside and it kind of became this sort of white whale for all these old guys. They all wanted to like kill this panther that apparently had escaped from somebody's home because they thought it would be cool to own a panther. So think twice next time you decide you want to own a raccoon. Actually, raccoons are a bad example, but I always fantasize about owning a raccoon.
I love raccoons.
I watched a documentary about raccoons that is very good and on YouTube. It's like a Canadian PBS documentary or something you can watch where one of the things it talked about was like a lot of people in Japan getting raccoons as pets because of the success of Pompoko.
Mm.
Oh,
and then,
well, those were like tanukis, though, I thought.
That's they what weren't... I thought, but it was kind of talking about like maybe it was just saying that like raccoons are brought into cities and then they adapt so incredibly well to living in cities
yeah.
because
right.
they're so smart.
They're smart and they have thumbs.
They have thumbs. They're fully human.
Yeah. They can practically drive cars.
Yeah. It's like
own a smartphone.
Cars are their main predator in the city. That's like their main right. issue.
Back to hippos
so,
real quick. Emily found a really good thing on Motherboard, on Vice's Motherboard about how the hippos are having so much sex and like I think they're trying to castrate the hippos.
They're trying to and they've only succeeded in castrating four as of this article, which was from 2016. So maybe they've done more. But I didn't understand it so much to be that they couldn't kill them for reputational reasons, but just that it's like really, really fucking hard to kill
a hippo
because they're huge and they will kill you.
No, here's the deal. National Geographic did an interview with an environmental expert from Colombia, and he was like, okay, so this, basically Pablo Escobar's estate was called Hacienda Napoles, and
and it's open as like a theme park.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
It feels so dark.
And it's like, it has like some of the, most of the animals were relocated, but some of the animals remain, like an ostrich and like they claim a rare goat, which like, I don't know what that means.
It's like Neverland.
Yeah. There's 28 hippos at the hacienda. And this is from also a couple years ago. We could use an update. But 40 others in like nearby lakes and rivers. But the guy was like, so hippos are super dangerous and they're the number one deadliest animal in Africa. But he was like, when people started proposing that they kill the hippos, everyone, it was like a huge scandal, and everyone was like, no, because he said, he used the word charismatic like 3 times in this interview.
I know, that's funny. It's very, very funny.
He was like, hippos are charismatic, and you can't eat them. You can't eat hippo meat because they carry diseases. So you couldn't be like, we're farming the hippo, like, you know, we're going to take the hippos, at least we're going to eat them. You would just be killing the hippos and just to like get rid of them. And everybody was very upset because it's also, I get it. I mean,
because
if you knew there
cute.
Were hippos, they're really cute. The babies are super cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of just scared. I've never really had the hippos are cute phase because their mouths are so terrifying. I mean, I remember just being scared of them in the Jungle Cruise.
I knew you were
going to
say that. But they've got like roundy faces.
The baby faces and the tiny little
like,
twitching tails.
Like a crocodile is scary.
Yeah. Well, it's not warm.
Hippo,
yeah.
Even though it has like giant teeth, it's like very cute.
Still
and
a mammal.
Babies are cute.
The babies.
There is a mascot at the park who responds to her name, and her name is Vanessa. So it's also like you can't like have a hippo mascot and then be like, okay, all of Vanessa's relatives who like escaped, you can just like. It's open season on them, but like, but meanwhile, here's Vanessa, who's like a dog who comes when she's called.
I guess
you know?
I want to know like what other species are they decimating?
Oh, otters and manatees.
Oh,
I know.
And they also mess up all the rivers because they start algae blooms because of their poop.
Okay,
it just, like,
here's an
it's,
idea.
Like too much.
Can they like put them all in like a hippo? Aquarium
a hippo sanctuary.
Yeah,
you probably
hippo
need
sanctuary.
So much room though, because
I think
huge.
And I think it's just so hard to round them up.
Yeah, that's the
like
issue.
I think it's easier to kill them maybe than to round them up. That's why when Escobar died and all the rest of the animals in his menagerie were rounded up and put into zoos and you know wherever. But they couldn't handle the hippos.
And also, like, I think all the zoos were like, it's cool, we have one hippo, we don't need more. And everyone was like, you sure? We got like 60 hippos here. And they were like, no, we don't want those hippos. Because hippos, yeah, I mean, if you have a hippo at a zoo, it's like a huge liability that someone like, you know, your kid falls in the cage, goodbye, nobody's going to save the kid because like nobody wants to wrestle with a hippo. So, you know, just dark, dark times.
That's where your mind goes.
It is.
Can I say one of my favorite details from this, outside of the hippos themselves, is just this actual park that was on his compound, the Hacienda Napoles, whose sign, if you look it up, just looks like the Jurassic Park sign.
Yes.
Like it's the same font and everything.
It is so crazy. I don't know. It must be on purpose, right? Because
I think so.
They have some dinosaur bones.
Well, it
would have
been like the 90s or something whenever, I don't know, or maybe they didn't open it until later, but still.
I mean,
he died in 93.
I don't know a ton about it, but like, didn't he build the theme park as like the people loved him because he built the theme park?
Well, I think, I don't know if it was like, because he did do that, he would do kind of like
stuff
these civic
the
improvements
yeah.
to be like, yeah. I'm not just selling cocaine.
Yeah.
I'm also doing this and that. And they were like, yeah. Okay. But I think,
I mean. Investing back in the community.
Right. But a lot of his estate was just for his own shit. Like he had like a big collection of like vintage cars and like a sculpture made out of dinosaur bones.
Put the hippos in the vintage cars.
Yeah. There was a go-kart thing.
The go-kart track.
So it's like a Richie Rich house?
Yes.
It's like
basically.
It's like that house in Life in Hell where you're like the dream house of like a 10-year-old
exactly.
kid. Where you're like
a
slide from one floor down to the bottom floor. Zip lines.
A hidden room of candy from around the world.
Well, that does it for this week's Night Call. Thanks to everybody who wrote in and called in. Keep them coming. Our number is 1-240-46-NIGHT, or you can give us an email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook at Night Call Podcast and on Twitter at Night Call Pod and Instagram at Night Call Podcast. And yeah.
Give us all your questions about hard milk, hippopotamuses. Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of hard milk?
Ghosts.
I'm sorry. I think I have to issue a profound apology to the guy who was already grossed out by our mayo discussion.
Swiss secretion.
Also, just want to add a final note to the mayo discussion. What I realized, part of what grosses me out about it, is that there's egg yolk in it, but it's like not refrigerated.
Tell your ghost friends about your feelings on mayonnaise.
If you're French, please call in. Otherwise, case closed on mayo.
Oh, also, if you're enjoying the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you like to do that kind of thing, because it helps us. And we like it.